Turn with me now to Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to begin with verse 57. And just by way of background, you'll remember that Zechariah and Elizabeth, Zechariah was a high-ranking priest in the temple. His wife Elizabeth came from a prominent family. You might say they had it all except something that they really wanted. They didn't have a child. And they were past the age of childbearing when Zechariah was doing his priestly duties in the temple one day, lighting incense. And suddenly the angel Gabriel appeared to him and said, "You're going to have a son. And you're going to name him John." He would be John the Baptist, who would prepare the way of the Lord. Well, Zechariah was a little bit skeptical, and he said, "How can this be? I'm an old man, and my wife is past the age of childbearing." And so the angel, I don't know if angels get miffed or not, but the angel essentially said, "Shut up. This is going to happen, and you can be quiet for the next 9 months and think about it." So we're picking up the text when Luke tells us about the birth of John the Baptist. Hear now the word of God. "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, 'No, he shall be called John.' And they said to her, 'None of your relatives is called by this name.' And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted the child to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, 'His name is John.' And they all wondered, and immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all those neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, 'What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him.' And his father Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, and prophesied, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us from the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.' And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel." The word of the Lord. Please bow with me. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I did forget one announcement that I was supposed to make. On Christmas Eve at the Courtyard Marriott, come early and come in quietly. We're going to have a a mini Christmas concert. Some of our musicians and singers from our body are going to be offering their gifts, and so come in and listen. If you want to talk, as long as you want to talk, that's great, but keep that out in the entryway, and come in and take a seat early. That'll be starting, what, about 20 minutes before 5? Okay. Jeff is nodding his head yes over there. Okay. We know about Zechariah and Elizabeth that they were deeply devout believers. And so we know that, even though it doesn't tell us, the text doesn't say they prayed their hearts out for a child, but they did. In fact, when Elizabeth learns that she has indeed conceived and is pregnant, she cries out, "Thanks be to God who has removed my reproach," or "who has removed my shame." And we talked about this the very first week in this series, that in today's culture, not having a child can be a choice that is respected by the community. But in the ancient world, unfortunately, we have our superstitions. They had theirs. One of theirs was that if you're childless, God is punishing you. There must be something wrong with you. And so we know that they prayed. And we also know, we can surmise, that the dream of a child was long buried and dead. Because, we can surmise this, because when the angel Gabriel shows up, now get this, he's a priest, he's in the temple, the angel Gabriel shows up and says, "Your wife's going to have a baby," and he says, "Nah. Not going to happen." It's ironic that Zechariah's name means God will remember. God will remember his promise. That's one of the themes, by the way. Once Zechariah remembered the Lord's faithfulness, that's one of the themes of his song. We're going to get to that later. Even though he's a priest, he's in the temple, and he's chatting with an archangel, he doesn't really believe that God is going to remember. Now, will God remember? We wonder that too. Just the other day, 148 people were killed in a, most of them little children, were killed in a school, murdered in a school in Pakistan. Will God remember his promise of peace on earth? Does God remember you and your old longing? And I wonder, do you have a worn out old tattered prayer that you don't even bother to pray anymore because it hurts too much? Or maybe you've just given up on that prayer because you think, well, it's too late now. Zechariah didn't believe Gabriel's message, and so Gabriel gave him a gift. 9 months to meditate on what God can do. Zechariah would not say a word for 9 months. Complete silence. A torment for a preacher. Christmas is a really noisy holiday, isn't it? Jingle bells and ho 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 and lots of parties and warm greetings and Merry Christmas and gathering with family and that's not quiet. You know, you swap stories about the old days and tease one another and have fun together. But we also, at this time of year, we really crave silence, don't we? Perhaps the most beloved Christmas carol is "Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm." is bright. On Christmas Eve, we're going to gather together. No candles, but we will have some quiet. We will quietly remember how on that quiet night 2,000 years ago, God entered our world in the flesh. But not all silence is golden. Some silence is leaden. Some silence is just painful. There's the silence that follows the lab report that says you are very, very sick. There's silence in the car after you drop your child off at college and then drive away. I spoke once with a man who told me about coming home one evening, and there was a note on the kitchen table that said, "I'm leaving." He said that the house was so quiet that night, it was like knives in my heart. There's silence in the heart for the person who's opening up the Christmas decorations and finds the stocking of their spouse who died this past year. But Christmas, for those who know the Savior who came to us, Christmas is a time that we remember that God has spoken a word into the silence of this world. God has spoken a word that can't be drowned out. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Phillips Brooks' favorite carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, the living Word of God enters our world, enters our lives as well, if we'll receive Him. That's the message of the birth of Jesus. God has remembered you. You're Zechariah. You're Elizabeth. God remembers. Now, following Jewish custom, Zechariah and Elizabeth took their little newborn to be circumcised on the eighth day. It was customary that the boy's father would announce the name. It was a way of the father staking claim, saying, this is my child. So Zechariah couldn't do it. Also, it was traditional to use a family name. Apparently, the gathered neighbors were expecting Zechariah Jr. Zechariah still can't speak. But Elizabeth speaks up and says, "His name is John." And they all look over at Zechariah. "Is that right? There's nobody in your family named John." And he asked for a tablet to write on. And he wrote, "His name is John." In a way, that's a way of saying, "He's not ours. He's ours and he's not ours." And this is true of every child, isn't it? You don't really own them. They're a gift from God that you care for a time. Now, this father and son, they make quite a pair. Zechariah's name means God will remember. God will remember. And John's name means God has been gracious. So these names are like the bookends of the gospel, aren't they? God will remember. God has been gracious. And we all live somewhere in between those two names. We live in the in-between, between our deepest longings and their ultimate fulfillment. Because what we long for most won't be fulfilled in this life. It's whether we know it or not, what we long for most is complete union with our Savior. And That won't happen until we're in his presence. We live in the in-between time, between the painful silences and the word of God that has entered the silence. Now the people gathered for baby John's circumcision asked, what then will this child be? Because they thought, wow, there's something special going on here. As if to answer the question, what will become of John, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he opened his mouth, and he spoke for the first time in 9 months. And this is what he said. It's called Zechariah's Song. And like many of our hymns, it unfolds in four stanzas. Stanza 1 is verses 68 to 71, and it gives praise to God for sending a Savior. The second stanza, verses 72 to 75, says that this Savior is the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham long ago. Remember Zechariah, God will remember, and God does remember his covenant. He remembers his promise. The third stanza, verses 76 to 77, describes the role that John the Baptist, Zechariah's son, this baby will play in preparing the way for the Savior. You will prepare the way. You will make the people ready to receive the Lord, the coming of the Lord. And the fourth stanza, verses 78 through 79, speaks of the tender mercy that the Savior will extend, that Jesus will extend to the people when he comes. So the subject outline of the hymn goes like this. Stanza 1 is about Jesus. Stanza 2 is about Jesus. Stanza 3 is about John. Stanza 4 is about Jesus. So it's Jesus, Jesus, John, Jesus. And that's just about right. God has a mission for you. And it's, if God was to write a song about your mission, it would be Jesus, Jesus, you, Jesus. His calling on your life, his words in your mouth. Now, back to Zechariah. Wouldn't you think that a father who's waited his whole life to get a son would sing the praises of that baby? He's learned something in 9 months of imposed silence, that it's all about the power of God. It's all about the Savior, Jesus. He doesn't get to his own son until the third stanza, and that's just about right. And then he goes back to Jesus. Now, by the way, it is really fun to watch parents bring a newborn infant to church for the first time. And usually, well, in fact, always, you'll watch them stare at that baby and... Well, I can remember, because I've done this, I have one, Charlotte and I have one, and I can remember looking at him when he was brand new, newborn, and I thought that the sun rose and set on that little guy. Then they grow up and become teenagers and they disabuse you of that. but... But from the beginning of John's life, Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, has a conviction that his son's life, the story of his son's life, will be only part of a much larger story. A story about the Savior, Jesus Christ. John will not be the Savior. Parents, your children won't save you. Children, your parents won't save you. Only Jesus can save you. Zechariah came to this liberating discovery through the gift of silence. And when we are silent before the Lord, and when we approach God's word in humility and receptivity, God will put his word in our mouths so that we have good news to share with a waiting world. I told you last week, I'm going to correct something that I said in my sermon last week. But I'm not going to sing again, don't worry. Last week I said that some of you want a hippopotamus for Christmas. In other words, you want something impossible. And you're thinking that, you know, maybe a certain relative is going to show up at the Christmas family gathering having had a personality transplant in the last year. And I said, that's just not going to happen. Well, you know what? Maybe it will. Maybe God will have done a work in somebody's life in the past year. Or maybe what's needed is that you get a heart transplant and look on that person in a new way. And maybe God will put a word in your mouth to share with that person. A word of encouragement, a word of hope, a word of love. Through Zechariah's silence, he learned to speak a word of blessing. His first blessing was to God. Blessed be the God of Israel, who has kept his promise, who has kept his word, who has remembered his people. Brothers and sisters, trust this Christmas that God remembers you. God remembers your deepest longing. He remembers your hope. Place your hope in him. Wait on the Lord. He's going to give you a word. Also, I think this is a word for our whole church. Because brothers and sisters, as we move forward as a brand new infant church, remember that God has remembered us. God remembers his promise to us. And God has given us a word of good news. The good news about Jesus to share with a waiting world. Amen. Let's bow together in prayer. Oh God, we thank you for your work in the lives of Elizabeth and Zechariah, how you intervened when their hope was dead. Lord, you are still surprising, interrupting lives today with the surprise of your grace and gifts that we didn't anticipate and had given up hope to receive. Lord, give us grace to receive the gifts that you will give us in this Christmas season and Advent season. Give us open and expectant hearts, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.